With our powers combined, it's cybersecurity. Don't feed after midnight, don't get them wet, and at the next turn, please download malware. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the September 19th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How are you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. Had a great weekend. And in Florida, for those of you who don't know, it is incredibly beautiful. And then in 5 minutes, it's going to pour rain like you've never seen before. And then in 5 minutes, Ray, what happens?
No, it's raining. No, wait, it's clear. It's beautiful. It's clear. And anybody who hasn't been to Florida doesn't understand. In Florida, you can have one side of your house where it's raining hardcore, and on the other window, it's bone dry blue sky. Like,
No one understands that.
Have you seen that anywhere else?
Never, never. There's literally a wall, and you're moving in traffic. I've been in this where there's a wall of rain hitting the car in front of me, and as traffic moves, my car is totally dry. I mean, to the point where it's a wall of, I can't even see the car in front of them. So yes, we are now in that.
I love it. It's fantastic. Also in Florida, the rain doesn't go straight down. It goes at an angle just to make sure if you have an umbrella, you're equally screwed. You know, and speaking of coming from the skies, Tony, there may be aliens, possibly. I don't want to alarm anybody. There's not aliens here right now in this office. But
are you making fun of my Hispanic heritage? I'm just wondering where this is going, because
we're both Cuban.
we're both Italian.
You know what I mean, Devin. You're Mexican. I'm Cute. It's the same thing.
No. Same. Primito.
And I just got canceled. No. Yeah. So apparently, a public hearing in Mexico's Chamber of Duties, Congress, cool duty, is focusing on unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UAPs. You and me know them as UFOs, right? So UFOologist, real title, I didn't make this up. This is straight out of Wired. Her name is Jamie Mausen, unveiled two sarcophagi containing non-human beings, later revealed to be discredited Nazca mummies. But I love the Mexican authorities, like, have an entire department dedicated to UFOologists. I think that's freaking awesome. Tony, have you ever had an alien experience? I'm not talking like drinking too much tequila. I'm talking like, you know, real like lights and, you know.
Listen, Ray, you and I, as MSPologists, we have a very specific focus, and I don't think we're qualified to address that particular topic. But it does lend itself very nicely into understanding in our world what we see with the MSP community being the last mile, meaning we're actually poking our fingers inside the customer premise. Anything and everything is possible in every possible combination that you never imagined. But again, we're just MSPologists. That's it.
But we are just MSPologists. We're humble MSPologists with a PhD in nonsense. But, you know, if there were aliens that landed on Earth and were confirmed, it would be on the news on MSP Dispatch. And we've seen already other entities get their news, including government agencies, from MSP Dispatch. So they should just shut down the whole department. We'll let Mexico know when aliens come in. Yeah.
And with that,
I think we should get into the news.
Let's get into the news.
In my first story in partner news, ConnectWise and Microsoft team up to boost MSP cybersecurity, written by Ty Trumbull for Channel E2E. ConnectWise is partnered with Microsoft to enhance cybersecurity management for small to medium-sized businesses, or SMBs, aiming to improve IT management and efficiency within the ConnectWise platform. This collaboration integrates ConnectWise, MDR, and Microsoft's security solutions, including Microsoft Defender for Business, available both as a standalone product and within Microsoft 365 Business Premium, benefiting MSPs of all sizes with tailored, cost-effective cybersecurity solutions for SMBs. Key features include Microsoft Defender for Business integration, 24/7 SOC support, automated threat detection, and collaboration between Microsoft's threat intelligence and ConnectWise's cyber research unit focused on MSPs and SMBs. Research confirms both SMBs and MSPs recognize the critical importance of comprehensive cybersecurity aligning with the industry's growing security focus. Rafael Marti, EVP and GM of Cybersecurity at ConnectWise, emphasizes their mission to empower IT solution providers and support businesses with limited resources. While Rob Lefert, CVP of Microsoft Defender and Microsoft Sentinel Engineering, underscores the shared objective of enhancing security for SMBs and MSP profitability through integrated solutions. Tony, nowadays it's really hard to tell what is a sales pitch masquerading as a news story and what is valid news. And I get certain stories can walk the line. The reason I wanted to bring this up, though, because let's be honest, part of it is press release. Let's be clear. But also, I do think these partnerships between Microsoft and ConnectWise should be applauded. And I think they should be publicly discussed. What's your takeaway on this?
This is interesting. We've talked about this before, where if you're looking for content, we're going to have a long, drawn-out debate of dehydrated water, I think was the term. It's just you're looking.
The hydrogen monoxide will get you every time.
But as MSPologists, we can sort through, we can separate the wheat from the chaff. And ultimately, let's make no mistake about it. Similar to, analogous to the Star Trek of old, and like the tricorders and all the devices we saw in these old 1970s, 60s films are now coming to fruition. Is it a suggestion of idealism with a small pixel of truth, and that's just enough to cause the movement necessary, or is it much more than a pixel? Is this something substantial with Microsoft that has not just roots, but it is blossoming to something much further and faster in the background? I'm really curious which way this will go, but it is clear that something is happening. So I don't know what the caliber is. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you want this to happen? Is it going to muddy the waters on what an MDR, XDR, whatever, DX, whatever, is going to be to the end point? Is just causing another end point confusion? Or is it going to, frankly, dilute what the heck ConnectWise and Microsoft actually are now?
Are you concerned that they're going to, the Microsoft partnership may color what ConnectWise does at some point? And the only reason I say that is because Microsoft obviously has their initiatives, and as a vendor, I work with my suppliers, my subprocessors, and I make sure the stuff we're building does not conflict with what they're building. And that's a benefit, right? We don't want two people reinventing the wheel. Nothing wrong there. But I wonder, part of any good relationship is that collaboration where you can kind of help each other, guide each other down the path. I think that might actually be a good thing, even though at first it may sound like it's negative. But for Microsoft, who's already heavily entrenched in MSPs, let's be honest, it affects all of our lives as the resident MSPologist. So happy to inform the audience. And we know there's other agencies that are collaborating, CISA's collaborating with MSPs. There's other organizations doing the same. But to have Microsoft hear it from such a big player as ConnectWise, who has so much visibility, who has their cyber research unit, which is filled with amazing people, right? Bryson Medlock's one of the genius. And he's not the only one, but these are smart people talking to other smart people. I think even outside the MSP ecosystem, that could affect the general public. And I think that's a win for everybody, right?
I don't know. Is it tail wagging the dog, meaning vendor telling ConnectWise what's happening? Is it ConnectWise telling Microsoft this is what's needed, and this is how you can punch harder than your weight, Microsoft, if we combine forces and fill in these gaps? Is someone missing it, or are they both getting it and recognizing that they both have two halves to the yin and yang? I don't know. Maybe one of them wasn't getting it at all and is being guided. Maybe it was like explaining gravity to a chicken and they said, just do this, trust me, and okay, let's do it. And it's going to turn into something magical. I don't know. You know, I'm really interested though.
You know, and much like Christmas, we have the gifts that keep on giving, like one more Microsoft story. Tony, what do you got?
Oh. Jumping straight in my first story from darkreading.com, Microsoft flushes out and curses Gremlins. No, it's not the 1984's movie Gremlins. Microsoft researchers discovered multiple memory corruption vulnerabilities in the NCurses programming language, widely utilized for text-based user interfaces across macOS, Linux, and FreeBSD. These vulnerabilities could allow attackers to leak data, escalate privileges, and execute arbitrary code. The identified flaws were present in NCurses versions up to 6.4, 2023-0408, and were related to environment variables, term info, and home. Exploiting these could enable environment variable poisoning and known attack strategy. As a response, the library's maintainer released a patch identified as CVE-2023-29491. Microsoft coordinated with Apple to address macOS specific vulnerabilities, resulting in Apple releasing an update for macOS Monterey. Red Hat labeled the vulnerability in NCurses as medium severity. Developers and users are advising to update their software for protection. Ray, this is something that we've talked about before. MSP Dispatch has talked about, announced, done our best to educate. We've pushed for updates because of vulnerabilities. But it feels like the libraries moving upstream are being attacked more and more and more. And is it now that Microsoft is just starting to explore libraries and saying, whoa, we're packing these in our applications. Let's address this. What is happening? Have these always been there? And what is the resolve? Is everyone hacked? Am I hacked? What's happening?
I mean, we've all been hacked at this point. I'm pretty sure I'm getting hacked right now. I feel something tingling. But seriously speaking, I don't want to get it to the point where it's all, the sky is falling, we're all chicken littling, and they're nowhere is safe. That's not the case. You have to have an element of practicality, of pragmatism, where you're looking at feasibility, right? That's not to say I'm too small, I'll never get hacked. That's BS. We all know it's BS, especially coming on the heels of the MGM, which you guys talked about on Friday. We'll link somewhere there. But it is important that an increased awareness is there. It is important that we're reviewing things more thoroughly. It is important that we're going back, and I'll pull the old Reagan anecdote, or the old Reagan saying of trust but verify. And we're going as far to look at the things that we previously thought were okay, and we're revising them again through a separate lens, a new lens, a more critical lens. And I applaud that kind of behavior. Absolutely. It's easy to say, I checked it, it's done, we're good. As you and I are both lifelong technologists, beyond our, MSPology, you and I both know, we could do an amazing job setting something up and configuring it, and you will have drift, you will have things change, something else will break, and suddenly something will be more liable to hacking, malware, intrusion, whatever you want to call it. So it's good. It's good that they're doing these things. Am I off base? Am I just like, Microsoft, go feed your gremlins? Like, leave my gizmo alone. What do you say?
Don't feed them after midnight. The good news is that we are not mercurial. Mercurial? Is that mercurial? Meaning we're not flippant on our feelings about this. We are extremely consistent on the stress, the importance, the sense of urgency that all of this needs to be addressed all of the time. I think my biggest concern is that this is starting to sound like one big Jenga tower, where we are slowly but surely removing resources from the bottom to put them on the top. And of course, it does look like we're moving forward and progressing from a technology perspective, but this is going to become very unstable because we're not doing it thoroughly. We're leaving these gaps behind. We're not creating a framework not just the policies and processes, but also the accountability to move us forward without creating instability at a later time. And so I'm very concerned about that. And now when we start looking at the concept of these libraries, I mean, even JS Library had an issue where these libraries that are being pulled may have exploited something on a localized system that will then surface years later, not from this attack that was patched, but now the entry point has been established, the exploitation of other vulnerabilities, the rooted access, the reverse SSH out to wherever, and now they've rooted into your phone system or your printer or maybe some Wi-Fi access point that you never really care about. That's what I'm concerned about. I feel like everybody is now everywhere, and I don't know the answer to the solution outside of we need to start a true framework of processes, policies, and accountability. But I could be wrong.
I agree 100% with you. I want to hear what the MSP audience says. I want to see, how they would approach it. Everybody has opinions. I want to hear the MSP opinions. So hit us up on the comments below. Hit us up on Discord. We definitely want to hear about you. And we just added a Star Wars channel, so yeah.
Nice. And don't feed them after midnight. Those gremlins are bad. Okay, Ray, I think you got another story. We knocked out our two Microsoft stories. What you got for us?
And my third security story, free download manager site redirected Linux users to malware for years. Written by Bill Tulis on Bleeping Computer. A supply chain attack via free download manager targeted Linux users, guiding them to a malicious Debian package repository. The malware-laden Debian package contained a bash stealer and a cron backdoor that established a reverse shell enabling data theft. It collected sensitive information such as system data, browser history, passwords, cryptocurrency, wallet details, and cloud service credentials. The official free download manager page occasionally redirected Linux users to the infected repository, but redirection seemed selective and the affected specific users. Kaspersky discovered this prolonged 3-year campaign during a domain investigation and reported it to the vendor, but received no response. Furthermore, social media and forums unknowingly promoted the malicious domain as a trusted free download manager source, leaving users unaware. And while redirection ceased in 2022, older YouTube videos still pose risks. Despite its age and social media reports, the malware went undetected, partly due to Linux's lower malware rate and limited redirection. Free Download Manager is actively addressing the issue. Tony, can we not download malware anymore? No. Maybe that's not the right set. Okay. That's tricky. That's, only doing some, redirecting only Linux users. It's like malware that's directed at Mac users and only did kind of sometimes. That's tricky.
That's tricky. Prep the dolphins. No, that's not tricky. That's f***ed up. That's what that is. That is horrible. Listen, I am wildly impulsive and short-sighted. That's my jam. This is enough to completely restructure everything I do. Now, I don't want to touch anything. Oh, this is a trusted download manager. No. Before I click download, I'm going to call the vendor, but then I'm going to tell the vendor to call me back so I can see the caller ID is actually coming from the vendor. And if the caller ID doesn't match the vendor, and then what I'm going to do is ask for their name, and then I'm going to call the vendor again and ask them to redirect me back to that person I'm talking to make sure I can download the thing.
But that exact process saved one of Huntress's, would have actually saved Huntress from paying a malactor. Go to the special report. Phil will link it here. We had Danielle on that talked about that actual call, pick up the phone, verify verbally when they're changing something of significance, and it saved us. So I get that's not the great idea here on downloads, or maybe it should be.
It's everything. I'm going to have MFA on my MFA. I am going to have, like, in order to be more productive, it's like I put powdered milk inside my milk to get more milk out of it. I'm going to have an MFA. I'm going to have my YubiKey be authenticated by my MFA app to make sure that my YubiKey isn't hacked. That's what I'm going to do.
That seems reasonable. That's
totally reasonable.
I mean, I hate to say it, I have to get rid of my YubiKey and replace it. Because now there's YubiKeys with fingerprint identification. And I kind of want that too. Because why not just step it up just a little bit more?
But then you have, it's going to have the YubiKey with the fingerprint identification, which initiates the Cisco Duo, which then you authenticate, which then makes sure that the other YubiKey without the fingerprint is allowed. So that way you yes. have just in case, you know.
And I need somebody on the opposite end of the world turning, plugging in their YubiKey and pressing the button at the same time I am.
Yes.
And that seems absolutely reasonable if you want to download, you know, your Adobe PDF extension. I don't know.
This is
here's
terrifying.
A cool thing. Don't let users download anything.
Hold on. Ray. This is between me and you.
Yeah. Give it to me. Give it to me, Tony.
Now you're being rational. You need to calm down. You need to really, really, really slow your roll. You know what I'd like to know? And this is a very, very simple question to every single MSP, everyone listening to this right now. There are multiple privilege mechanisms out there. There's Auto Elevate, which is very powerful from the endpoint. There is ThreatLocker, very powerful from the endpoint, but from a different perspective. There's ACLs. There's permissions from your AD or LDAP. There are so many. There's content filtering. There's source filtering. There's IP reputation. There's restrictions.
Impossible travel. Access.
Exactly. Yeah. Restrictions and allowance. I mean, these are exceptions. I'm going to shut everything off and allow this, or I'm going to allow everything except that. I want to know from the MSP audience, please, please, please just say, hey, listen, this is in our stack and this is what we use, which prevents people from downloading X, which would have prevented this problem, even though you have the nice download manager. Give us some ideas. Don't hoard this to yourself. Don't think, oh, but people will laugh. Rest assured, you are going to give other people some ideas. Other people are going to give you ideas. I'd love to hear from the MSP audience. We have a Discord server that we could put that in, which would be really cool. We could put that in there. You can leave the comments on YouTube. You can even call us. We have notes. And at the end of the show, you're going to have all those ways to contact us. Please, 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 the MSP audience should let us know what they're doing to prevent stuff like this. Help me psychologically deal with this for the benefit of one of the co-hosts and help the rest of the community. But with that,
Tony, I say we get our YubiKeys, plug them at the same time, and get into the notables.
Let's do it. And my first notable mention from darkreading.com, the ransomware group Alpha V, aka Black Cat, claims responsibility for the recent cyber attacks on MGM Resorts and Caesars Entertainment. They allege to have breached MGM systems by compromising its Okta platform, specifically the Okta agent. After gaining access, Alpha V launched ransomware attacks on over 1,000 ESXi hypervisors. They warn of further attacks if no deal is reached and threaten to release the stolen data. Okta's chief security officer acknowledged the breach had a social engineering component and advocated for enhanced security measures. There's growing concern about the potential future attacks targeting systems like Okta, emphasizing the need for improved security practices and threat intelligence sharing. In my next notable mention from Engadget.com, X, formerly Twitter, has launched a government ID verification feature for premium subscribers in select countries, excluding the EU, EEA, and UK. This move aims to enhance safety and prevent impersonation. Users will benefit from prioritized support and a special identity label. X has partnered with Israeli firm Authentix, that's AU10TIX, for the verification process. Since Elon Musk's acquisition of X, formerly Twitter, the platform faced verification challenges and concerns over data privacy practices, drawing FTC attention.
In my first notable mention, New Windows 11 feature blocks NTLM-based attacks over SMB, written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. Microsoft has strengthened Windows 11 security by introducing a feature that allows administrators to block NTLM-based attacks over SMB or server message block. This new feature prevents pass-the-hash, NTLM relay, and password cracking attacks. Instead of the traditional approach using Kerberos and NTLM authentication, Windows will now let administrators intentionally block NTLM via SMB. This added security layer curbs the risk of attackers tricking users into sending NTLM data to malicious servers. Furthermore, Windows 11 now defaults to requiring SMB signing, a security measure to defend against NTLM relay attacks, enhancing overall system security. In my second notable mention, Google to pay California $93 million over location tracking claims, written by Emma Roth on The Verge. Google is set to pay $93 million to California to resolve allegations of secretly tracking users' locations. Following a lengthy investigation, California's Department of Justice found that Google deceived users by continuing to collect location data even when they had disabled the location history setting. Even though Google has since changed its policies, California now requires more transparency and disclosure about location data usage. This settlement is part of a larger legal battle, with Google previously paying $85 million to Arizona and $392 million to settle similar lawsuits from 40 states, including New York, Florida, and Oregon. In our resource of the week, CompTIA introduces Emergency Response Team for Cybersecurity Assistance, written by Ty Trumbull for Channel E2E. CompTIA has launched an Emergency Response Team, or ERT, consisting of volunteer members to aid businesses facing cybersecurity disruptions. The ERT aims to help businesses navigate security emergencies, successfully providing essential program necessities, legal safeguards, and operational workflows. While the ERT complements formal incident response procedures, it also focuses on employee welfare. Nonetheless, CompTIA advises organizations to consult with insurance and legal representatives first. Alongside this initiative, CompTIA also offers the Information Sharing and Analysis Organization, otherwise known as ISAO, a platform for member firms to access and share information on current cybersecurity threats, resources, and best practices. The CompTIA ISAO is available free of charge, included with every MSP membership at CompTIA. And in our feedback from the YouTubes, at Got2Kitty says, tech leaders want the government to kneecap and cripple competition right away before it can compete with anything they do. This is in response to our AI story last week. I agree with you, and I definitely love to continue the conversation on our Discord.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. And in a slate of all in-person events, the 18th through the 20th, Build It live in Orlando, Florida. And also on the 20th, Next Gen MSP local events in Denver, Colorado. And then the 20th through the 21st, ASCII MSP Success Summit in Schaumburg, Illinois. And finally, IoT World in Austin, Texas on the 20th through the 21st as well. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have later today at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Wins and Losses, Episode 9. And tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern, AI Roundup is back for episode 28. And on Friday, we have got so many things coming for you, starting with MSP Dispatch, as well as MSP Community Live episode 12 right after that. And then Bits and Books episode 2 is back at noon Eastern time on Friday. Are you engrossed by the intriguing world of AI? Do you find yourself relying more on ChatGPT every day? Are you fascinated by creating visuals with Midjourney or Stable Diffusion? Or could it be you're contemplating the deep-seated implications AI has for your professional field? If you're struggling to keep abreast of all the AI developments, don't worry. I'm Phil Buck, the host of AI Roundup, a weekly digest of all things AI. Make sure to check in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern for a concise roundup of the most captivating AI news right here on the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it 3 or 5 times. And if you want to hear more, hit the subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we have gremlins. We have aliens. We're scared to download anything, as we should be. I think we're getting ready for October, for spooky season.
Oh, so, you know, getting ready for October with spooky season. I would like to point out that I believe, I'm not saying this is real, but I believe Apple has literally categorized our podcast in the horror section of their podcast, because this is the terror episodes. Now, granted, you have to look at it. So, but the problem with the Apple rating and the categorization is because we are simultaneously in the horror, terror section, educational, and humor. Now,
are you saying we've invented a new category, a categorization of funny, horrific education? Is that what you just said? Funny educational horror?
As an MSPologist, I would like to say that I have very strong opinions about this particular categorization process, but I will stick to what I know.
And what I know is this has been a tremendous episode. I'm so happy to be back. Thanks to Matt Fox for covering for me last week. And I can't wait to see you on Friday, where right afterward we have MSP Community Live. And then we have Bits and Books. So next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Everyone, episode 150 next week. A lot of stuff right after. Take care, y'all.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
What else are you opening up right now? What is that?
Because we're recording, and because I know Steve Phil is going to put some of this on the air. This conversation started with Tony talking about buying shit for his house, and I said, "Don't spend money." And then I opened my brand new MacBook Air that just arrived.
He's literally saying, why would you spend money on that? Why would you buy both? Oh, hold on.
To my replace hypocrisy. My 9-month-old MacBook Pro.
After 9 months, they really just, they lose their luster.
Oh, it goes downhill from there. It's basically garbage at that point. Key features include Microsoft Defender for Business, integration 24/7 SOC support, automated threat detection, and collaboration between Microsoft. I was doing so good. All right.
Microsoft coordinated with Apple to address macOS specific vulnerabilities, resulting in Apple releasing an update for macOS Monterey. Let me repeat that, and I apologize. Monterey.
Did you know we also have a...
Is that okay?
All right. Sweet meat. We're all set.
Sweet meat. Awesome. Thank you, brother. Let me know if you need anything. I will send over sweet meat. I don't know. I got mixed emotions on that one.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to. That's the...
Okay.